Good morning. My name is Karen Martin, and our scripture today is 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm giving up. I'm giving up doing things that I know that I'll never continue to keep giving up. You in the same place? This period of time in our church, we follow a rule called Lent. It's the season when we examine ourselves and examine what we could give up to draw ourselves closer to Christ to walk this earth. And we spend time reflecting on that. And this last 2 weeks had a mini series on I'm giving up. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we've been going over some of the things that we give up during this season. Last week, we talked about bitterness and how it's probably a good thing for us to give up bitterness. Amen? We talked about how the it's no good for us and how it resides. And this week, we're talking about our carefully made plans. Our carefully made plans and how they impact us. We at Palm Harbor, our mission is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And one of our values and the ways that we do that is a commitment to missions. We are committed to missions locally, and some of you are involved in those missions locally to our schools and to the surrounding communities as we give to the poor, and we take part in collecting for Feast, the local ministry here. And we have regional missions, which is things that are close to us, but not just in the state of Florida. And particularly, we're thinking a lot of our children's home. We're really involved in that mission. You are also involved in international missions. So missions beyond Florida, beyond the USA, and across the whole globe. And one of the ways that you do that is you support missionaries. We support Amy Sticker, who was here, I think, last week and the week before, and she's out now. She's come back from where she was. And today, we have with us two of our missionaries that are in Japan. Jonathan and his wife, Satomi, are here today. And we're gonna welcome Jonathan to the stage, and he's going to sit with us and talk to us a bit. So please welcome Jonathan McKelly to the stage today. Bless you, Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan. Jonathan has been here a couple of times. You've been here before, a few years ago.
Yes, sir. The last time was in 2019.
Let me get you there. Yeah. Last time was in 2019. Cool.
Yes. So 3 years. It's been 3 years.
Well, welcome back. Some of you remember him.
It's good to be here.
Good.
Glad to know that.
Yeah, well, I've just met him for the first time, and already he can't understand me and my weird accent, but I want you to get to know him and as we support him, who he is and where he's from. So tell us about yourself, Jonathan. How do we know you? Where's your family? Where are
they? Yes, Pastor Keith. So again, my name is Jonathan. My wife is Satomi. And I'm actually from Central Florida. I grew up around Orlando, had family over here on the West Coast and East Coast. We have a daughter, Yuka, and we also have a foster daughter who's now 17, just turned 18 actually, just had a birthday, named Haruka. And we have been connected with this church since about 2011. If you remember, there was a disaster in Japan, a tsunami, earthquake. And so since then, you all have been supporting us. You're one of our first churches to link arms with us.
Good, good. And I think we have a picture here of your family. Is that the first picture?
Yeah, there we are.
Yeah, so who's who?
So, yeah, it's hard to tell, huh? So I'm the guy taking the selfie with the hat, yeah. And then Yuka is down below with the lesser panda on her head. You got to be very specific, the types of pandas. There's Satomi, and in the back is Haruka.
Okay, good, good, good. So tell us about your ministry. Where do you do most of your ministry? You know, what are you called to?
So as you said, we are in Japan, and we have been there for 13 years almost,
wow.
Which is unheard of as for a Methodist, right?
Wow. Right, yeah.
So we do most of our ministry, obviously, in Japan. But as some of you may know, it's not your kind of typical just serving in a church or serving with Japanese people. There's another picture that should be coming up. And this is a group of, this is the people, these are our family. We serve with people from all over the world through the Asian Rural Institute, which is north of Tokyo. There's probably about 17 different nationalities represented there. And every year we bring in a group of about 30 people. And we serve with them. And what is our ministry? I would say it's working for the kingdom of God to come in Japan and for revival to spread from there through these people throughout the world.
And what do they, this wasn't in our notes, but I mean, I was just fascinated by this people, this picture, just all the different nationalities. So I'm going to leave that up for just for a minute for you guys to look at that. But at the Asian Rural Institute, what is it specifically that, you know, other missionaries, they have different ways of teaching to share the gospel and that kind of thing. And what is it that you do there that communicates to them and connects with them?
Yeah. Well, one thing is we live in community, totally in community. We live together, we cook together, we eat together, we fight together, we laugh together. You can imagine. We are actually working on training leaders, right? Jesus, he washes the feet of his disciples right after Palm Sunday. Where you're going to have this breakfast. And he tells them, you know, do as I've done. And so we try to teach people to do as Jesus did, to serve others. And through that leadership, what do? We do a lot of farming, actually. We spend a lot of time not in these beautiful clothes, but in dirty clothes, scooping pig manure, cleaning eggs, doing all this kind of stuff with people, because that is what is really needed, food. People need food. Almost half of the world is in poverty, and almost half of the world continues to live in very rural areas where food, wow, sustenance is so important to their lives.
Wow. You know, it sounds like hard work to me, and, you know, all that farming and stuff. And, you know, why don't you just do, like, a normal pastor job like most pastors?
Yeah, I've been over here for 2 months, and you can see what being a pastor does. Yeah, that's an interesting. I think there's another picture up there. Maybe it's coming up. If you kind of look at that, I'm not quite the normal person. I'm up there wearing a skirt. I guess why? I mean, it goes back to my call story, which I'll get into in a second. But I received this call into ministry. And since I was a child, partly just the place I grew up in, but I've loved the cultures of the world and seeing what God does. And I'd probably get bored, Pastor Keith. You know, I got to figure out.
I'm really bored around here. Bored.
But I got to figure out how to do that, right? But yeah,
that's amazing, and that's really important. That you know, we answer what we're called to do, and it's amazing that you followed that, and you know, we're thankful to support you here, along with many other churches in Florida. So you know, in the grand scheme and structure of Christianity, we often think of, you know, like, you know, I go to Bible study and then I'll go to become a Christian and then I'll, you know, go off and go to Bible school, go to seminary, become a pastor, and then after that, then I'll become a missionary, you know. And we often think that missionaries at the top and the normal, like, low life normal Christians are down the bottom kind of thing, but we normally equate that with giving up something. And along with our series of giving up, and what is it that you and Satomi have given up to do this ministry?
Yeah, one comment is, I think in Scripture, Paul says that, who I think we consider the first missionary, he says that, you know, I am the lowest of low. And, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but I must admit, I do not feel like I have, there's lots of stuff I need to learn from Scripture. There's lots of stuff that I'm still learning. And so as a Christian, I think that's just who I am. I think the biggest thing we've given up is our comfort. When you serve in missions, like a United Methodist pastor, you don't know where you're going. but maybe it's even a little more extreme because at least usually in the United States, if you speak English, you'll probably be with an English-speaking congregation. Right. But we gave up our comfort. For my wife, she comes from an urban area in the south of Japan where it is very warm, not like this morning. And for me, I come from Florida, kind of the same. But being around people from all over the world, wearing clothes like that from time to time, being in a situation to where you really don't understand everything and you are prone to make mistakes, but feeling that it doesn't matter, that if God's called you to do something, He's not brought you this far to leave you. Mm. This idea that God has called me and God is going to provide for me. God's going to take me. So giving up comfort, giving up familiarity has been, for me, this huge blessing.
Yeah, that was kind of my next question. It's by giving up the comforts of what we have here and where you grew up in Central Florida. Of course, you're right next to the Mickey Mouse ears and everything. You got everything there, you know. Yeah, and how has this shaped you in your life? You know, you say 11 years in Japan. And how has that shaped you? And you've been married. You guys have been married how many
11
years?
11 years.
So, yeah, you got over there. You were straight in. But, you know, what has that shaped you? How has that shaped you in your ministry?
Yeah, how has it shaped us? I would say one of the biggest things is, this is actually the verse coming up on the screen is the verse that we used in our wedding from Proverbs 69. It says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. I would say that we're living a life as a missionary, and I don't think this is just in Japan. I think others would say this as well. But you start to realize that all the plans that you had, whether they be for greatness and how you know how to share the gospel in this culture, like God's given you a calling and I'm going to do it. God kind of messes with you the whole time. Not, I think, in order to embarrass you or to destroy your faith or to show how weak you are, even though you learn all of that and you're challenged in your faith. But I think it's to show the greatness of God, to show that even though you have these plans, God continues to be faithful. And does anyone else have that testimony? Is God faithful to you? Amen?
Yeah, amen.
And I think that's the thing that I have been shaped is that no matter what is going on, whether it is a earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear power meltdown, whether it's a pandemic where so many things you can't do that you need to do your ministry, no matter what it is, that God is faithful. And that has brought us to a point to where we're ready to go wherever and do whatever, and we're not worried. God's going to provide because God has provided.
So God is, in fact, by giving up, it seems like you've gained more in that time. And, you know, it's always hard for us to conceive that giving up something would give something back, and I'm sure that's what you teach your people. Well, we're excited you're here, Jonathan, and we're excited to support you, and this
Thank
church
you.
is happy to support you, and they've supported you a lot longer than I've been here.
A couple years.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being here today, and Jonathan will be in the lobby with his wife Satomi after the service, and you'll see Yuka run around there too.
Probably somewhere.
So make sure he gets a cup of coffee and a snack over there. So thank you for being here,
Thank
Jonathan.
You. Thank you, Pastor.
Just like Jonathan and Satomi, the Apostle Paul was somebody who communicates the gospel. Jonathan communicates along with his wife the gospel in this Asian rural institute. And at that place, they teach people basics of some of the things that Jesus talked about. Seeds, soil, harvest. And he teaches them there how to do that back at home so that they can have food and be fed. When Paul was on this earth, he communicated the gospel. The Apostle Paul was originally a super Pharisee. He was top of his game as a Pharisee, and he deserved pay. He deserved some sort of financial gain back. And he talks about this in our scripture that was read today by Karen. He talks in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians about how he should deserve something. He was a Pharisee. He was top of his game. And all of a sudden, there was a turnaround in his life. And he went from being super Pharisee to super missionary. As Jonathan said, the first missionary. And his main purpose in life, the very thing that he flipped from persecuting one load of people to convincing a load of people, the main thing he communicated was the gospel. Or the good news. In Greek, it's evangelion. It's where we get our word evangelist. To communicate the gospel, to communicate the good news, was Paul's chief aim in life. That's what he turned around from. And he came to Corinth. Corinth was an international community, just like Orlando. Corinth was international because it sat on the end of Greece. It still sits on the end of Greece. And at the end of Greece, the fastest way from the Aegean Sea to the Mediterranean was through this place called Corinth. And back then there was no waterway there. There was no canal. And so ships would come in and they'd drop off all their cargo and all their people, and they'd transverse across the land to the other side and get another ship. So just people from all over the world were coming through this area. Some ships were actually rolled across, smaller ships and boats were rolled across the entire land to the other side so that they could get over to the other sea. So you can imagine the different types of people in different countries, even more than 17 countries in represented in Corinth. It's kind of a hard group of people to communicate to, right? You can imagine that sermon, big old buckshot here for Paul to preach. So Paul is in Corinth communicating this gospel. And at one point, he spent 18 months in Corinth communicating the gospel and sharing the good news. And Karen read to you our scriptures today, and I want to encourage you to follow along. If you've got your Bible, open it to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you're on an app, go there so you can mark it. You might see something different. Paul says, even though I am a free man, with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. Paul here is saying that I'm not a slave. And slave is kind of hard for us to understand. The original Greek is doulos, which means servant or subservient. And he says, I don't have a master on this earth. That's the first thing we need to know. But he goes on to say, when I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. By the way, good news or evangelion in this chapter appears 6 times alone. He says, this is what I'm doing. I'm communicating to that they would follow Christ, or I would lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law, even though I'm not subject to the law. I did this so that I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. Whenever I'm with the Gentiles, he says, who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of who? Christ. Paul is communicating to them what's important in his life. He's saying, I'm not a Jew anymore. That used to mean something. That used to mean something to me, being a super Jew, being a super Pharisee. That used to mean something to me. It doesn't anymore. It doesn't mean anymore. But if I'm going to communicate the gospel, I become like a Jew. I remember that. I know that. I used to live like that way too. I'm going to become like you so I can communicate the good news to you. And then he becomes like somebody under the law. And you know the Jews had lots of laws to get closer to God. Beyond the Ten Commandments, there was also the 163 laws of the Mishnahs that Jews were to follow in order to get closer to Yahweh, God, our God. And so he says, I'll become like them. I'll remember those laws so that I might find a way to communicate the gospel in a new way. In fact, I'll even become like a Gentile, which he then goes on to be the communicator of the gospel to the Gentiles. The Gentiles? Really? Gentiles. People who don't have the law, I'm going to become like them. And at the end here, this is really important we pay attention to. At the end of this little section, he says, I do everything to spread the good news. I do everything and share in its blessings. Then you go back a bit, he says, I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of who? Christ. I don't have to obey all the rules that I once did. I don't have to obey somebody else's laws. I obey something higher, the law of God. In fact, it's not the law of God. It's the law of Christ. Well, what is the law of Christ? What should I check off? What rules should I check off in order to get closer to God? How do I operate on this earth? How do I operate in Japan? How do I operate in England? How do I operate in Korea to follow Christ? Well, the law of Christ is a cruciform law. It is laying our lives down that others might also follow Christ. It's about being everything that we can to all people so that others might follow the gospel too. Amen? How do we do that? How do we live this life so that others might follow too? Who do we preach to? Who do we come alongside? Who do we embrace? Well, Paul says we become all things to all people. We reach out to the Jews. We reach out to those without the law. We reach out to those who are Gentiles. We reach out to Japanese people. We reach out to people in South Korea where my nephew is. We reach out to people who are Ukrainian, who are Russian, and we share with them and we show them that, guess what? Christ did this for me. He could do it for you too. Amen? We don't care where people are from. We don't care what their life was like before. We don't care what kind of people that they lived. We say, guess what? I have this in my life. And Christ is in my life. And I want you to know that too. And by you being here today, by you being present today, by you listening and hearing the witness and testimony of Jonathan, I think you want that too. Amen? Paul goes on to say, I become also to the weak. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Probably the hardest thing to do is to minister to the weak. Because we think we got it all figured out when we see somebody who's weak. We think, well, thank God I'm not that person. And yet, actually, if you pour a small amount of ourselves into that particular person, we can see some of Christ shining through. Jonathan was sharing with me before we got together today about how in his foster child, he has seen love, just a bit of love, somebody who cares about them, somebody who the community and the church just cares about them, and how he's seen that transform her life. Somebody cares about me. Somebody cares about this foster child who's got no parents and nobody cares about me. But this family, this church, I have become all I can to the weak, he says. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. Even Paul knew that he couldn't convince everybody in the entire room now. Even Paul knew that some people might not be transformed into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. But he did everything anyway so that some might know the power of Christ in their life. He says, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. You might have some plans. This afternoon, you might have some plans. Most of you are going to go home and warm up. You might have some plans next week. You might have some plans next month. You might have some plans for the rest of the year. Give them up. Give it up. Give up planning things. Give up worrying about little specific things in your life that if they don't go well, you're like, no, what am I going to do now? Give it up. Give it up so that when you meet somebody haphazardly, you can stop and share with them. When you meet somebody who actually you don't really like, but you can see that their life will be so much better with the love and peace of Christ in their lives. Give it up. Give up your plans. Give up your well thought out plans so that you might experience the blessings of Christ. I know each of you in here cannot explain the joy that you have when you see somebody's life transform. When you see somebody who actually gets, oh, you care about me. The love in your life, the love of Christ in your life is impacting me, and I'm seeing this, and it's amazing. And I know when we see that, something happens in us. Something transforms in our life. Paul says, I do everything for the evangelion. I do everything for the good news. Goes on later to say, I run with purpose. I run with purpose in every step I take. Yes, we've got a purpose, not a plan. It's a purpose to say that when I do this, I want that person to experience Christ too. Be an evangelist. Be evangelical. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with people in your life. Be a missionary. Be a super missionary. Make it the purpose of your life. Yes, we can support Jonathan. We can support our missionaries. We can support people because we have a commitment to missions. But no matter what you do, whether it's missions, whether it's schools, whether it's Japan, whether it's the Ukraine, do it with a purpose and give up our own plans, amen? So that we might know the power of Christ in our life. Give it up. give up our plans so that we might experience Christ. Amen? Let us pray together. Gracious God, we're so thankful that you are at work in our lives. We're so thankful that your good news, your gospel, has impacted our lives and it's caused us to tell others about him. And we pray, Lord God, today, Lord, you would give us a new spirit to do that today. We pray, Lord God, you would speak to us afresh and anew as we think of those people in our own lives who would love to hear from you. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.
And now we would like to invite Jonathan to come up for a time of prayer. We're gonna invite Jonathan and Satomi to come up for a time of prayer and commissioning and blessing. And want to invite you to 202-203 if you are interested in learning more about their ministry.
Let us reach out and commend our missionaries back to Japan. Not yet, but soon. And we'll send these out today back to the mission field with our support, both in our prayers and our financial support as we reach out to the rest of the world. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we give to you this family, the McKelly family. We give to you Jonathan and Satomi specifically. And we ask, Lord God, for that Holy Spirit presence that convinced them to go into ministry, that convinced them to go to Japan, that same Spirit would stir up here, that your blessing, Lord, would be upon them, but in many ways. But we pray, Lord, as they return back to the Agricultural Institute back in Japan, Lord, that they would have your blessing and your power and your strength. And we send them back there, Lord, in the power and grace of your loving Spirit. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.